Napa know-how.
A Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Friends of Kevin Radio Show. The Friends of Kevin Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, send me an email to kevin@friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group and to see a list of upcoming events, visit our website at friendsofkevin.com. So I got my friend Aaron Hanlon from the Center of Election Science with us. The Center of Election Science is a nonpartisan 501c3 nonprofit comprising voting system experts and activists. They promote better collective decisions and settings range from civic organizations to government bodies. Good afternoon, Aaron. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
So let's jump right in. So any major projects going on right now, Aaron?
Yeah, so right now we've got a pretty exciting project. So we just finished up with the 2016 election, and to kind of take advantage of that, we did a national poll where we had 1,000 people respond to how they would vote in the election with four different candidates. So we had a Democrat, Republican, as well as the Green Party and Libertarian candidate. What we made this a little bit different is that we asked them how they would vote under different voting methods. So that was the exciting project that we've been up to lately.
I got to be honest, Aaron, I really don't know what the different voting methods are. So can you tell me a little bit more about that? What is a voting method?
Yeah, so a voting method, so you go to your voting booth, you see your ballot. The voting method is how you put information down on your ballot. So, like, are you choosing one? Are you ranking them? What are you doing? And then the voting method also involves what's done with that information. So you're just adding them up. Does it go through some kind of weird algorithm or something? So a voting method is information that we put translated into a result that picks who we have elected. So the one we're normally used to thinking about is something called plurality voting, which is when we just choose one candidate and the candidate with the most votes wins. That's how we did our presidential election, if you kind of put aside the Electoral College for a moment. But we looked at some other ones too, such as approval voting, which is instead of just choosing one, you can choose as many as you want. We also looked at another method called score voting, where you score each candidate on a scale. And we looked at another one called instant runoff voting, where you rank them in order, and then it goes through this algorithm that eliminates candidates.
So now, why does the voting method matter? And does it have a big impact if you have different methods?
Oh, yeah. The voting method matters enormously. The voting method can determine who wins, so different voting methods can give you different winners. But it can also determine what kind of reflection of support candidates get. So, like, under our current Choose One plurality voting method, it can give an artificially low amount of support for third-party candidates because it involves things like not allowing voters to choose their honest favorite. And when that scenario arises, say there's a third-party candidate you really like, but you choose not to vote for them, many other people are thinking the same thing. And so those candidates get an artificially low amount of support. But other voting methods, like, say, approval voting, the one when you choose as many as you want, that one makes it so that you can always choose your honest favorite, even if there's a candidate, a third-party candidate, that looks like they're not going to go anywhere, but you really like them. So if they have good ideas under a voting method like approval voting, they can get much more support. So a voting method can change who wins. It can change how much support different candidates get. It can change the type of partisanship of a particular winner. So some voting methods prefer more moderate winners. Other voting methods prefer more extreme or partisan winners. So a voting method can change all of that.
Wow, it's pretty interesting. So what's wrong with the current method then?
Yeah, so the current voting method called plurality voting, when you just choose one candidate, is an academic consensus that this is the worst voting method. So for one, you're hardly providing any information to begin with. So you're not really able to say what you want to say at a time when it really matters the most. But some of the big issues are not being able to choose your honest favorite, like I mentioned before. So if there's a candidate that you really like, well, if that candidate looks like they're not going to do very well, and there's another candidate you really hate that's a front runner, you want to do the best you can to make sure that front runner doesn't win, even if it means supporting
right.
some kind of lesser two evil candidate. So priority voting will put you in that scenario. And as a consequence, you have a very high barrier to entry, which is reflected, for instance, say, in the debates. So you have the commission or presidential debates. They don't let you in unless you're polling at least 15%. And, of course, the polls that they use that choose one priority voting method. And as a consequence, nobody hits that 15% threshold. And we lose all kinds of good ideas as a result. So you can poll ideas, and they can go and show a lot of support. But if you have a candidate there that's kind of espousing those same kind of ideas, but the voting method doesn't really reflect the amount of support they have, that candidate, along with their ideas, can get marginalized. And that's not a good way to make sure that we have a competitive democracy so that new ideas enter the ring and we can think about them in a way that's sensible. We're not even getting the information to begin with because of this bad choose-one voting method.
Wow, so there's quite a bit of consequences to our current voting method then, and negative consequences.
Yeah. So the voting method, like the priority voting method, you can get bad winners. It has vote splitting, so which is something that we saw in the primary, particularly for the Republicans, where they had enough candidates to field a baseball team, two baseball teams, in fact. They had nearly 18 candidates. And there you have this issue called vote splitting, which is when you have similar candidates running. And when you have similar candidates running under priority voting, you can't choose multiple of them, and so the vote can divide between them. And as a consequence, when you have a bunch of candidates running and all this vote splitting, the result can be practically random. And it tends to prefer more extreme candidates because a lot of that vote splitting occurs in the middle. And so you get results like the Republicans did this year. And it could just as easily happen in other years with the Democratic Democratic nominee as well. So you can get more extreme results, sometimes practically random results with crowded primaries. And you can lose good candidates in general. So, for instance, Michael Bloomberg decided not to run in this election because he didn't want to be a spoiler. He didn't want to cause vote splitting because he was more of a center-left candidate. He didn't want to split the vote with Clinton. And so we're getting bad winners, bad nominees, and we're losing out on candidates that could potentially have good ideas.
So then are all voting methods equally bad then, my friend?
No, they're not. Some are clearly worse than others. There's this theorem out there called Arrow's Impossibility Theorem that looks at really looks at ranking methods. But a lot of people have extrapolated that to mean that all voting methods have some kind of failure. And because of that, we should look at them all the same. Like there's no hope going forward. But absolutely, some voting methods are better than others. We know this through looking at elections in practice. We can. Our organization also has done computer simulations to see how voting methods would perform in different electorates, different conditions, simulating millions and millions of voting of elections, and we can see directly that some voting methods absolutely offer more utility for the electorate than other voting methods. And to be honest, it's not hard to make a step up. So our choose one priority voting method, by far the worst there is. Practically any other voting method you use is better. But if you're looking for something easy within an election that's electing just one person, the one I mentioned earlier, approval voting, works very well because you're just saying instead of being limited, you can do as you want, and it works on current ballots, no special software for voting machines. So an upgrade is not that difficult.
So what makes a good voting method then? How would someone know it?
Yeah, so a good voting method is something that represents the electorate well and fits for their circumstance. So, for instance, you want a voting method that doesn't give you a candidate that represents an extreme, because your electorate, whatever that is, has some kind of middle ground or middle area. And that's where you want to represent, because that represents the largest breadth of people. And you also want to make sure that there's a low barrier to entry for new ideas. So it may be that you have a new candidate running, and that candidate may not deserve to win, but your voting method better well be able to represent that candidate well. Because if it doesn't, then you lose ideas. So it's important not only that a voting method pick a good winner, but it should give candidates a good reflection of support that's reflective of their actual support. That way, when they introduce ideas, they're taken seriously when they need to be taken seriously. Now, some candidates are going to have bad ideas, and it doesn't matter what voting method you're using, they're going to get a poor reflection of support. But when they bring good ideas to the table, it's important that the voting method be able to reflect their support. That way, they're taken seriously, and their ideas aren't marginalized.
So now, are there any simple fixes that we can use on our current method then, my friend?
Yeah, as far as simple fixes, approval voting, easily the simplest fix there is. So with our choose one voting method that we use now, the ballot will tell you vote for one, and then the one candidate with the most votes wins. With an approval voting ballot, you look down at your ballot, and you'd see your candidates. Everything would look the same. The only thing different would be the directions. There would still be one winner, and the directions would say vote for one or more, or vote for as many as you wish. And there on your ballot, instead of voting for one, you could, just like the directions say, vote for all you want.
Are there different voting methods for multi-winner versus single-winner elections?
Yeah, so for single-winner and multi-winner elections, you have completely different classes of voting methods. So single-winner elections are for more executive offices like mayor, governor, president, that kind of thing. But when you have an elected body, like, say, a city council, or you're talking about a legislature, there you can go into multi-winner methods, which have some perks that single-winner methods don't. So if you take an election and put it at large, where you have multiple people representing a constituency, you can do what are called proportional voting methods. And the nice thing about proportional voting methods is that it can represent the electorate in proportion to their number. So if you have kind of a group that's, say, like Green Party oriented, they can get reflected in the number of people that are elected, but having that done in proportion to the number of people that support that group. So you have parties and groups that have to work together. It's not just one party controlling everything. You have compromise, which will reflect kind of the middle ground of support, but you get to hear a nice discussion of ideas with people collaborating together.
That's nice. So now, how can listeners help? What can we do?
Yeah, so on our website at electology.org, you can go there, sign up for our newsletter. We do all kinds of great work. Like I mentioned, we just did a polling study. We have a couple articles out on that where we saw how the election would have gone with approval voting versus plurality voting. We also got to see how voters would have voted had they been able to be honest. And we were able to use that data to show how candidates would fare head-to-head. And we even threw in some extra candidates to see how they would fare, like Bernie Sanders, Michael Bloomberg. So you can go to our blog, check that out. If you sign up on our newsletter from our homepage, you can make sure that you don't miss anything. We're on Facebook and Twitter. And if you'd like to donate to support our work, you can also go to our donate page at electology.org/donate.
Aaron, I really appreciate you taking the time out of the day to come on the show. And as always, thanks for being my friend.
Thanks so much, Kevin.
Have a great day. Bye now.
Bye.
If you own a small business, it's not a question of if some hacker is going to attempt to attack your company. It's a question of when. Let cyberpolicy.com keep you safe. Cyber Policy is the first end-to-end solution that combines cyber planning, security, and insurance. With Cyber Policy, your business will be protected against cyber attacks for as little as 40 cents a day. Visit cyberpolicy.com today and get a quote in just 4 minutes. Cyberpolicy.com.